Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Great to see you in God's house this morning. We're well into our series. We're talking about pursue. Pursue what matters most in life. Let's pray before we start. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for the presence of Jesus. Thank you for God's people in your house today. This is your house, your home. This place is for your name and for your fame and for your glory. And this is a place where your Word is preached. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the words that I preach this morning that come out of my mouth. I pray for the anointing on everyone here to hear that Word, believe that Word, and to put it into practice. All for the glory of God and for our great personal benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 A life, today we're going to talk about pursuing a life that counts. A life that counts. Can I say to you this morning that a life that counts is not a normal life. A life that really counts for eternity is not a normal life and not a life that is average. Would you agree with that? You know, and you know, I've talked to guys and say, hey, you know, I like my life. I like average. I like normal. But it's good. It's all good. But we know that the good is the enemy of the best, right? And so, you know, we as we look in and study the Bible, read the Bible, you read stories about people like Joshua, Daniel, and the list goes on, Moses. You know, and we think these are just incredibly super spiritual people, you know, but they were just ordinary people like you and I. Ordinary people that connected with God, and with God did extraordinary things. Amen? And when you think about it, God empowered Joshua and God's people Israel to take the promised land. Well, today God empowers you and I. He empowers us to take hold of the promises of God in the Bible and to advance His kingdom, right? And God has given us, empowered us with His Holy Spirit power. You know, I believe as believers that a lot of times we sometimes expect too little. I want to look at the scripture in Psalm 78 where the psalmist, the son of Asaph, said these words. How many times, and he's talking about the people, that first generation of people who were in the desert before they crossed the Red Sea and went into the Promised Land. You know, they were supposed to go into the Promised Land, but he's talking about that first generation that never made it into the Promised Land. They actually died in the desert. And he's talking about them. He says, how many times they rebelled in the desert days? How they grieved him with their grumblings. Again and again, they what? What did they do? They limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Wow. So in the Old Testament, Israel limited God because they expected too little. And there's one thing about kids. They never expect too little. They're always asking for more, right? Like this kid right here. This kid, you know, this is my little granddaughter, Layton. She just turned 6 years old on Friday. Amazing, amazing kid. And there's one thing that Layton is good for is asking for gifts. All through time, she's got a little iPhone. For months past, she's been asking, Papa, Papa, can I have this? Then, you know, a day later, Papa, can you get this for my birthday? Can you get this for my birthday? Well, we celebrated her birthday, and Layton got a whole bunch of birthdays, and just about all the gifts that she got were the ones she asked for. When you're Layton, when you're a kid, you can never have enough gifts, right? So you keep asking, and as long as you keep asking and getting, you know, you keep on doing it because you're always going to get, right? And I remember Layton saying at the end of that day on Friday, and I remember her just standing there and with, you know, with everybody standing. She said, this is the best ever birthday. Why was it so good? Because she got what she asked for. Yeah. Amen? Does that make kind of sense, right? So think about this situation. God was upset with them because they expected too little of him. Isn't that right? They settled for too little. They couldn't believe for more than just the desert, more than just one set of clothes, and more than just one pair of shoes. I want to tell you, if my wife Karen was there, and if Karen was there, they wouldn't have stood for that, right? I mean, God was saying, "Hey, listen, I've got milk and honey. I've got bees from, I've got honey from the bees, and I've got wheat and flour. And also for Karen, I've got shoes, designer shoes. And and they would say, "We're pumped." There's pumps there, right? Right? God was trying to paint a picture for them. I've got everything you ever wanted and never could ever desire. I want you to go for it, is what he was trying to say. But they couldn't believe God for more. And so they grieved God, right? They had everything they could want, but they just would not go there. They grieved God because they expected too little. Here's the question. Are we expecting too little? Do we? Are we expecting too little in our marriages or in our finances? Are we expecting too little when it comes to peace of mind or healing in our bodies, or expecting too little when it comes to being used by God to do something great with and for God? Amen? Are we expecting too little? So we got to be reminded that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. Amen? God created us and designed us for his great purposes. So the context of today's message is the parable of the talents, and it's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. The story goes this way. A wealthy landowner is ready to go on an extended journey, but before he does, he calls three of his servants, and he gives to them variable amounts of talent, or bags of money. Now, a talent in Bible times was worth approximately 6,000 denarii. A denarius was a day's wages for a common labor. So when you calculate and you convert that into today's terms, a talent was worth roughly a little over $500,000. So you can see that this wealthy landowner was entrusting his wealth, a lot of wealth, substantial amount of wealth, these three servants, saying to them, "I want you to manage this, and I want you to make it grow." Okay? So, the essence of what I'm trying to say today in this message is this. What we do in this life matters for eternity. Amen? Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So the guy with 5 gains 5 more. The guy with 2 gains 2 more. But the guy with 1, what does he do? He maintains what he's been given. He just buries it. And when the master comes back and he finds out what this guy did with his talent, with his money, what does he do? He takes it away from him. And what does he call him? Wicked. Right? Calls him wicked servant. You know, and you think about that. Maybe that guy who had that 1 talent taken away from him thought, "You know what? God's not fair. God's not fair. They got 5. They got 2. I only got 1 anyway, so God's not fair." But you know, God is fair, right? He gives us talents and ability according to talents and gifts and all that stuff according to our ability. But you see, we may not have the same ability. I don't have Dan Rawlingson's ability to raise what he's doing in his business with worms and earth and organic and all that kind of stuff, and his knowledge incredible. I don't have that ability. But I have my ability, right? I've got my ability. But not only do I have my ability, I've got my opportunity. Everybody has given some sort, have been given by God with some sort of ability, but you also have with it an opportunity. What do you do with your ability? You take an opportunity to use it, right? Use it and to make it grow. And that's what we're saying here. So the question, I say, you know, often when I talk to guys and say, and they say, well, you know what? If I'd have had her looks or his money or his upbringing or his family or their education, I'd be in a different place today. But you know, like I say, God has given us equal opportunity, hasn't he? So the question this morning is this, on your PowerPoint, what will you do with what God has given you? With your talents, gifts, abilities, so that you live out your maximum potential for God. What would you do? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Then verse 9. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. To live a life that matters, I say, requires three absolutes. Three things you got to have in your life. Three things you got to have in your attitude. Three things you got to be doing if you're going to live a life that counts, that will impact eternity. How many of you want to live a life that will impact eternity? I think we all do, don't we? Three absolutes. Are you ready? Number one. First thing you got to do, if you want to live a life that counts, you got to focus on your strengths, your gifts, your abilities, your skills. Do you recognize this guy? Who's this guy? Come on, shout it up. Right, of course, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, incredible, fantastic ball player, MVP of the NBA. Right? Now you don't want Kawhi Leonard standing on the sidelines coaching the team, right? I mean, that would be a waste of his talents, and plus, it wouldn't satisfy him, would he? I mean, he'd probably do a good job, but that's not where you want him. You want him where he belongs, where his skills and abilities are put into action, amen? You know, that's the same thing for you and I. You and I, we have to identify our particular skills or abilities, giftings, and then just focusing on developing them. Develop your gifts and your skills. You know, when you first start to use your gifts and skills and abilities, they're not very good, right? But as you use them, you get better. It's like these incredible writers' books. You read the first novel and you think, oh, that's his first novel. You know, he's got a great reputation. You read it and you think, that's not such a great book, you know, because that's where he started out. But you read his novels today and think, wow, that book just blew me away. You got to read this book, right? It's just the way it is. We have to develop our gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given what? Each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Notice it says each of us have been given. Not just, maybe more than one gift. A lot of people have more than just one gift. Maybe two or three gifts. A unique set of skills and abilities by God. You know, if you read the Bible, the New Testament talks a lot about these spiritual gifts and areas that we could serve one another in. And I'm just going to give you a few. I'm just going to read some off. It's not on the screen. Things like hospitality. Hospitality, encouragement. Some people have the gift of teaching, evangelism. Some people have the gift of showing mercy, the gift of leadership, administration. Some people are just gifted and given money. I love those people too, right? I won't go there. You know? I mean, these are just a few, but there are like over 21 that are listed. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll read them through real quickly. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the evidence of the Spirit's presence is given to each person for the common good of everyone. God gave you a good gift to bless other people. Amen? For the good of everyone. This Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives one person the ability to speak with wisdom, word of wisdom. The same Spirit gives another person the ability to speak with knowledge, words of knowledge. Another person, the same Spirit gives courageous faith. To another person, the same Spirit gives the ability to heal. Some people have the gift of healing. Another can work miracles. Another can speak what God has revealed. Another can tell the difference between the spirits. Another can speak in different languages. Another can interpret languages. There is only one Spirit who does all these things by giving what God wants to give to what? Is that you? You have a gift. You have a spiritual gift by God given to you. You've got at least one. Many of you have multiple gifts. So, when you focus on your gifts and you use your gifts, the results and the impact can be supernatural. Supernatural. For example, we know this great man of God, Billy Graham. When Billy Graham was speaking to crowded stadiums full of people, the results that he got were literally supernatural. Beyond what anybody else can do. You know why? Because it was his gift. His gift was evangelism, to preach the gospel. You know, and he identified his gift very early on in his age. And he held on to the gift, and he stayed in that gift. And because of that gift, right, he reached more people than any other person dead or alive today. Because he stayed in that gift. Because he focused on the gift that God had given him. Amen? You know, our gifts may not be as remarkable as Billy Graham's. But nevertheless, each of one of us has been entrusted with at least one talent. Every single one of you have been given at least one talent by God. Okay? Every single one of us, a spiritual gift, ability for doing God's work in the world. What we need to do is identify them and then begin to use them. But listen, I know some people, they don't know what they are. They don't know what their gifts are. So I say, if it's not clear, then make an effort to find out what your ability gifts are from God. Make an effort to find out. Here's two things I could suggest to you. Number one, ask people who know you well. Ask people who know you well. Most of us, we always see is our weaknesses. But other people, your friends, people know you well. They see your strengths and they see your gifts and your skills, right? So you need to, that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is take the City Light Growth Track class. And immediately, you're going to find out your personality. Not only that, you're going to find out what you're gifted for too as well. You know, and if you took that class and you still don't know, then get together with one of the leaders and we'll sit down with you. We'll go over your tests and your questions and we'll help you identify, right? So you need to look at who you are. What are your interests? What are your skills? What have you done in the past that you enjoy doing? You know? So look at all those things, your professional skills. Number three, third thing you can do, you can just get on your knees and you can pray and you ask the one who made you, the Creator. Because He wants you to know what He's given you, right? He's not going to hide it from you. He wants to show you, right? So that's another thing you could do. So the first thing you need to do, folk, if you're going to make an impact, absolutely, you got to focus on your strengths. Number two, second absolute, use your gifts with excellence. 1 Peter 4:11. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and the energy that God provides. So rather than listing more than 20 gifts, Peter puts them into two categories. It's the first category are the speaking gifts. Those are the upfront gifts. And the other category are the helping gifts or the serving gifts, those that are behind the scene type of gifts. And so I want to say the church needs both, right? Church needs both and the world needs both. You know, like the world needs me, right? I think like I've been called to preach the Word of God. I never, ever thought When if I was growing up in high school, I was embarrassed standing up, and I was embarrassed so bad when I opened my mouth, you know, in one of my high school classes, everybody laughed at me. I never ever thought in a million years I'd be standing up here today and speaking to you. Amen? But you know, it's a calling in my life. And I'm called to preach, but I still agonize over it every single week. You know, and because I agonize over it. I want to prepare because I want to preach the word in such a way that it's clear, it's accurate, and it's practical for you to live out, right? I take the word of God very seriously. Yeah. And I want to make sure sometimes I feel a little bit terrified if I haven't prepared it enough or if I haven't prepared myself, because it's an awesome responsibility. And I want to do it. That's why I prepare it and I pray over it, because it's so important. And I want to do my very best for God. I want to do it with excellence. You know, it's the same. It's true with those with serving gifts that are kind of out of the limelight. So whether it's serving coffee in a coffee bar, that's kind of up front too. But how about carrying babies, you know, in the back, or you know, or even doing PowerPoint behind that little barrier there. But you know, whatever it is that you're doing, you know, we want to do it in such a way that we do it with excellence, right? That we show up on time, that we are well prepared, and then we were prayed up in advance of the service, right? That's what we want to do. See, because you know, I see serving and volunteerism in any church, and especially this church, is so important. It's so important to us here at City Light. You know, it's actually a core value, right? You know, here's what serving can do. Serving can keep you from getting entitled, right? And being religious, because it makes you come out of yourself to serve other people. I say that service is an expression of grace to someone, an undeserved gift that we give to others. And when you serve, just remember, you're serving a person. You're not just filling a position. Amen? Yeah. You know? And your serving should promote unity and teamwork in the church. And if it doesn't, and then you better stand back and realize maybe there's too much I, too much ego involved in it. Amen? Serving is so important. So I'm saying, let's be willing to let our hands get dirty, to get involved, right? And I would say that not just me, I think every pastor that I know would agree with me when I say these words. Everyone in our church is called and expected to serve on a ministry team. Everyone is expected to serve. Everyone is expected. Everyone is called by God to serve on a ministry team, to be involved in some sort of ministry like these. I know you know these, but let me remind you. Areas such as nursery, kids ministry, youth ministry, greeting, ushering ministry, prayer team, maintenance team, hospitality, kitchen ministry, coffee bar, worship, the worship ministry, which includes AV, sound, PowerPoint, small group ministry. And we've got a new ministry just ready to get going, but we need people to help in that ministry. It's called bus ministry. You know, we're almost ready to go. And it took a long time. We went through a lot of procedures to do it the right way. But we know what we need? We need people who would want to serve in those areas of ministry. Amen? So, you know, if you want to drive a bus, you want to be a host, we need teams that will get involved in there too, right? You know, I see service and ministry is all about getting closer to God. It's all about getting closer to God when you serve. I say it's impossible to get closer to God and further away from people, right? Do you remember there's another parable in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and it's a parable of the sheep and the goats. You remember that one? And on one side are the sheep and the other on the goats. And God says to the sheep, he said, you know, you visited me when I, or Jesus says, you visited me when I was in prison. You gave me something to drink when I was thirsty. You fed me when I was hungry. You did all these things. And then the people said, well, when did we do that, Lord? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you when you were hungry or thirsty? And he said, listen, whatever you did for these little ones of mine you did unto me. Right? We're not serving people. We're serving God. Every time you serve someone, you're serving God. And that's how important it is to serve. Right? A life that counts requires focus. It requires excellence. I'll give you one more. Number three, if you want your life to count for eternity, then you've got to live your life with intensity. Intensity. Do you hear this sports term, in the zone? In the zone? When the Raptors, Toronto Raptors, were heading into the final games of the season, they were in the zone. And they kept on being in the zone all throughout the playoffs. Listen, any team, if they're ever going to win, to be a great championship team, has to be in the zone to win. Amen? Amen? And they were definitely in the zone. Let me give you a definition. The zone is the state of being in which every athlete is performing at his or her very best, using their unique talents to the best of their ability when it matters the most. When athletes are in the zone, their mind, their body are all in sync, and they perform and they execute with efficiency and precision. An athlete in the zone is almost unstoppable. When an entire team is in the zone, they're absolutely going to be the very best in the league. Amen? You know, this being in the zone, it's not just an athletic thing. It's desirable in every human endeavor. We think about an artist in the zone is using all these deft strokes of the brush, and he's literally bringing to life the pictures that's on the canvas, right? We think about a surgeon. A surgeon in the zone is literally standing at that table or that, and he's working. He's performing all these minute, precise, procedures without even the slightest margin for error. Amen. You think about an actor. Actor in a zone literally becomes the person he's trying to portray. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter. Being in a zone is not just a sports type of thing. I think about video gamers. Video gamers in the zone. They're literally living out the adventure they're seeing on the screen, right? In the zone is required in any area of life. You know, it's not just a great way to do a job or to play a sport or to create a piece of artwork. It's the kind of intensity that God wants us, it's the way that God wants us to live. Amen? Amen? It's so necessary to live a life that counts. So let's look again at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter said, the end of all is near. The end of all is near. So, here's a question. What did he mean by that? Did he mean that Christ would be coming back soon? Did he mean that at any moment the world could end? Did he mean that? Absolutely. That's exactly what Christ meant, right? And when you look at when she was praying, she's talking about the early disciples turning the world upside down. You know, all the early believers lived exactly with that sense of expectancy about Christ's return. And because they had that sense of expectancy with that awareness brought a sense of urgency and intensity to the way they lived their lives. Thank you, Monica. You prayed exactly that this morning. Every single day that those disciples lived, I believe, every single day mattered. You know, every encounter that they had was really important. Every decision that they made could have eternal consequences. Amen? And that's just the way they lived. So here's the question, another question. Were they wrong to live with that type of expectancy? Were they wrong? No. That's the way they were supposed to live. And that's the way you and I were supposed to live today. That type of expectancy. Even after 2,000 years of waiting for Jesus to come back. Amen? Yeah. Jesus never said exactly when he was going to come back. but he did say soon, right? What does soon mean? Soon, you know what soon means? Soon means unexpectedly. Soon can mean suddenly. Soon, Jesus said, could be like a thief that shows up on your doorstep. You don't know when the thief is going to come and check your door. So what do? You keep it locked all the time, right? And I think that's kind of the way that we're supposed to live all the time, knowing that at any moment, Christ could return, right? In the same way, since we don't know when the end will come, we're supposed to live every day that like it could be our last, like we're literally running out of time, because the truth is we are, right? Paul said, the end of all things is near. Time is running out. And I say, when you know your time is short, then every conversation is important. Every encounter is an opportunity. Every decision has eternal consequences. You know, and it may be the last time. You know, I'm really serious. We just do not know when Christ is going to return. And we have this mindset, well, it's not going to be tomorrow. I'll kind of have a sense of knowing when he's going to come back. But Jesus said, it's going to come back and it's going to surprise you, right? I say, maybe the last chance. I remember my friend Dale Lang in Tabor. And he said, the very day before his son, Jason, was shot in that high school shooting in Tabor a few years ago, he says, that very first day, he said, my son came up to me and showed me his car. It was a Firebird. And he says, Dad, I got this car. Let's go for a ride. And they went for a ride in this car. Remember Dale saying, when he left his son, he said, son, he says, I love you. He says, that's the last time I saw him. Maybe it's your last chance to kiss someone goodbye that you love, right? Maybe it's the last time you could bring somebody to church. Maybe it's the last time you could give a financial offering to further God's work in the kingdom. Maybe it's the last time. You just don't know. But we have to live with that expectancy that it may be the last. You know? And if time is that short, is that near, then life should become very, very intense, right? We're living in uncertain times. And it's like our economy, you know, we're in end times. Many, many Bible scholars believe that everything that's predicted to happen in Revelation, most of it has already happened. And some even say, I've heard one scholar say, the rest could happen literally within an hour, could be fulfilled, and Jesus is coming back, right? And what happens? It can catch us unaware like a thief. I want to finish with reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be unannounced like a thief. The sky will collapse with a thunderous bang, everything disintegrating in a huge conflagration. Earth and all its works exposed to the scrutiny of judgment. Since everything here today might well be gone tomorrow, do you see how essential it is to live a holy life? Another version says, so what kind of people ought you to be? Daily expect the day of God, eager for its arrival. The galaxies will burn up and the elements will melt down that day, but we'll hardly notice. We'll be looking the other way, ready for the promised new heavens and the promised new earth, all landscaped with righteousness. What kind of people are you ought to be? And the answer is, people who live in the zone, right? People who are focusing on their strengths. People who are pursuing excellence in every endeavor, amen? People are living with such intensity, using your time, your gifts, and your skills to make an absolute maximum impact for Jesus Christ, because he deserves it, amen? Yeah, amen? Amen? Using your God-given gifts. Three words in this parable that defines the difference between a good and faithful servant and a lazy, wicked servant. Three words. You know what those three words are? Look at it in this verse. See if you can find it. Verse 16, the man who received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work. What are the three words? Exactly. Who said that? Awesome. Went at once. Which means this, if you're going to use your God-given gifts, you got to use them now. You got to use them today, not next year, not when the kids grow up, not when work slows down, not when you retire, right now, this moment, now. Amen? 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 Now, let's use them. Can I say to you this? I want to just give an advertisement this morning. You know, we need your help, we need your service. We need your help and your service in a lot of areas in our church. And it really shows. We got a lot of kids. We want to have more kids. We need people serving in nursery. We need more volunteers in just about any area. You team leads, do you need more volunteers? Absolutely. In every area, we are short on people. You know, the worship team. Look at the worship team. We got gifts and talents in here. Come on, you guys, with your gift and talents. Use them for the glory of God. Amen? I mean, yeah, you're not going to be the best. You know, you might have to take an audition. You know, and maybe you're going to have to get some lessons before Karen and the team let you on, right? But come on, entry level, start somewhere, right? You grow when you develop your gifts. If that's not your gift, find other area to serve. Get involved in the church, amen? Get involved. We need your help, July the 14th. We got this event happening on July the 14th. You know, this it's called, what's it called, Summer Fest. And we're going to have a lot of people coming here. We've got a petting zoo, and a lot of people are going to be coming in. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have people from the community coming. We need you to walk across the room and just to meet someone and just say to hello and make them feel comfortable. Can you do that? It's a simple act. Why are we doing this? Because we're trying to reach people for Jesus. And we need you. We can't do it unless you're here. We need people to serve, right? It takes a team effort in order to do it. I see, the reason why we're doing it, the number one reason is not just to meet people, it's to reach people for Jesus Christ. But it starts with a connection with people. Amen? I see, the first place to start serving is in the church, using your gifts, the local church. Because the only thing you're ever going to take into eternity are the souls that you win for Christ. Amen? Your brothers, your sisters, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your work peers. That's the only thing. I want to give you, this is where I ask for that a little bit more time, okay? I want to give you one more absolute. Can I add one more? I'm going to go through this quickly. Number four, you need to be rooted. You need to be planted yourself in God's house, right? If you're rooted and planted in God's house, you'll literally open yourself up to endless, continuous growth and fruitfulness in your life. If you look at Psalm 92, verse 13, it says, righteous people are what? What are righteous people? What do they do? Planted. They're planted. Where are they planted? In God's house. Is this God's house? Right? They blossom in God's courtyards. Even when they are old, they still bear fruit. They are always healthy and fresh. George and Trevo, I meet with them on prayer on every Wednesday morning around 11:30 to about 12:30. You're welcome to come. Remember George saying to me, hey, there's this report, the statistics that say that people who are a vibrant part of a local church live healthier, longer lives than most other people. It's true. They are always healthy and green. So, I'm saying to you, don't be a casual attender. You know, be a committed member, right? Be a committed, consistent member that we can count on. Last couple of minutes, I want to focus on not just three words, but there are six words. There are six words that you will hear, want to hear, from the lips of God the moment you step into heaven. Words that you want to hear more than any other words on this earth, worth more than all the accolades and all the praises you will ever get on earth, that you will want to hear. And these words are spoken in Matthew, in this parable, Matthew 25:19, which says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Would that apply to us? The master returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master replied. What did he reply? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. You've used your gift, your talents. I will put you in charge now in heaven of many things. And this is really important, the last few words. Come and share your master's happiness. Gives God great joy when he sees his people using their gifts and their talents to glorify him, to advance his kingdom. Amen? Saints, what we do in this life matters for all eternity. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So let's bow our heads. And let's just kind of let's get serious with God. So I want to ask you, how has God gifted you? And how are you using your gifts? Are you using them to your best ability? Is there a sense of urgency? Is there an urgency that literally compels you to want to take advantage of every opportunity, to not waste another day doing really what doesn't matter in the end? Are you living in a zone? So today for us who've received Christ, but you've not been either, because, you know, maybe you're not using your gifts, or maybe you don't even know that you had them. I want to pray for you. Maybe you know you had them, but you've just been so busy doing other stuff. I want to pray for you. Father, you're a good God. You made us to be born into this world with a purpose and a plan to live a life that has great, deep significance. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive us for not living up to our potential. Maybe we haven't served other people in the way that we should have served. So God, help us now, guide us to show how you have beautifully and wonderfully created and designed us, gifted us so that we may serve you by serving other people. I thank you for the grace and the mercy and the encouragement that you've given us today. You spurred us on, and you've shown clearly that you've a powerful design for us. We just need to simply walk with you. Amen? So I pray blessing and favor on every single person here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.